In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today we read from the Gospel of St. Matthew, and in this Gospel reading, we hear about the healing of the man that was blind and mute and demon-possessed. And there were already many events that were leading up to this, which made things a lot more, created a lot more tension among the people and Christ and the Pharisees. Because earlier in the chapter, the disciples were hungry, so they went to go and pick corn. And so they said, you know, why are you picking corn, on the Sabbath? And of course, the Pharisees criticized them. And then in the synagogue, there was a man with a withered hand, and they said to Christ, is it lawful to heal this man on the Sabbath? And he said, well, if you had a sheep that fell into a ditch, would you on the Sabbath, would you not go and save it? And of course, he heals his hand. So there was a buildup of this tension. And Christ continued to heal the people. And there was another time when the multitudes, right after that, there was a multitude, and it says that he healed all of them. And so then today's gospel, and even then, there wasn't a lot of response to Christ healing these people. But the attention came to today's gospel when this man who was blind and mute and demon-possessed, they were taken aback by this miracle. And they accused Jesus that he had done this by the power of Beelzebub. And so I thought, what was the reason for such a strong response from the people? And when I think about this, I think about change. There was a major change that happened, not in the blindness, not in muteness, because Christ had healed many infirmities and sicknesses. But it was that there was a demonic influence this time, and this needed a huge change. And with the exorcism of this demonic attack or influence, there was a change in this person. And by our own free will, evil can always have a strong hold on us that is difficult for us to separate ourselves from. And Christ is revealing to us that change is what catapults repentance and newness of life. So when I think about, when I want to reflect on change today, which of course, before anyone, I want to reflect on change for myself, but all of us, we can reflect on this to catapult our life of repentance. And sometimes when we think about change, the first thing that comes to our mind is, how do I change people in my life? How do I change them? And then maybe at some point we start to think, okay, how can I change myself? And again, I don't want to focus on change in the context of repentance from the perspective of sin to good in practice and virtue, but change as part of a new knowledge of God and myself. And I say it from an individual perspective because change cannot simply come by witnessing something else that is great. It must be something that I experience and I journey through. And we even see that in the gospel reading today, because when the man who was blind and mute and demon-possessed, when he was healed, the people said, could this be the son of David? So again, they looked at it from the perspective of man, Jesus as just as man. But they didn't say, could this be the son of God? Could this be the son of man? But they called him son of David. So even then, they didn't have yet even a full understanding of who Jesus is, which shows that there must be an experience that happens beyond just witnessing. And so when I think about changing myself, there has to be an opposing authority to evil. Change cannot simply happen by human means. Evil, as we know, is not compassionate. It isn't patient. It comes quickly. It comes with force. It's relentless. Even in the gospel, we read, or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? So Jesus refers to Satan as a strong man. But of course, in the Thanksgiving prayer, we say in every service, we say, but you have given us the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and upon all the power of the enemy. And so to bind this strong man and to plunder his goods, as Christ did today with the demon-possessed man, I must change. I must change by the authority of Jesus Christ. No other authority, no human talent, no earthly strategy can bind the power of evil. And of course, Satan is not only strong against Christians or tries to attack Christians. All humanity is subject to the providence of God, and all of humanity is subject to the attacks, demonic attacks. But even though we are all under this influence, is all humanity equal? And of course, by earthly standards, race, color, whatever, we are all equal. But there is a difference that distinguishes us, which is the distinguishment of the Spirit. The Spirit of God that is within us is what distinguishes everyone from another. And we read in the Gospels, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Right? There isn't this focus on the body, but there is this distinguishment of the soul, that no one can touch the soul. There are no two souls alike. But the body doesn't matter. And so how do we think about or reflect on this this distinguishing spirit? One is that when we recognize that we have shortcomings, and some we know about these shortcomings, and many times we have no knowledge of the shortcomings that we have. If we put ourselves in the position of the man in the gospel today, maybe one of the things that he knew what was wrong with him was that he cannot speak, because he could hear people and he realized that he can't speak. So he knows that humanity has the ability to do such a thing. But what about blindness? Did he know, or did he really know that he was blind? What context does he have to know what is blindness and what is not? Did he really understand that he was possessed or possibly under a demonic stronghold? Maybe not. Many times we think we know all of our weaknesses, and sometimes we're trained to try to think about ourselves this way, right? In corporate America, if you have like a yearly evaluation, right, it's like, what are your strengths and your weaknesses? As if I know all of my weaknesses. In spirituality, we don't know all of the things that we struggle with. And so the point is that we can never be fully aware of our shortcomings. Even in today's epistle from St. Paul, we read, in fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. He cannot judge himself because he will never be able to do it accurately. All he can do is to constantly aim towards the gospel. As he concluded in the chapter, he said, in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. I have begotten you through the gospel. And the other, when we recognize that we have shortcomings, those that we recognize and those that we don't have no knowledge of, then I focus on a goal of living the gospel, being inspired by the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is the one that guides and moves everything in my life. We read today, even again in the Catholic Epistle. And it's always good for us to, when we're listening to the readings, to recognize how all the readings are meant to give a message. In the Catholic Epistle today, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the scripture that we have is given to us by holy people who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that isn't the calling just for those who have written scripture, since they didn't even know that they were really writing scripture that would affect all of humanity for millenniums to come. But we are all called to that. All of humanity is called to be moved by the Spirit and to work, to be distinguished by the work of the Holy Spirit. How does the scripture inspire us to fulfill that calling and to make such a change? Jesus, he tells us in the Gospel of St. Matthew, it was yesterday's Gospel when he rebuked the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites, and he said, "For you neglect the weightier matter of the law, justice and mercy and faith." If we look back at everything in the scripture, what we are inspired by, or what is supposed to inspire us and our lives to be distinguished in spirit, is that we focus on the weightier matters of the law, the justice and mercy and faith. And we sometimes focus on fulfilling certain things that are convenient or easy. And we're focused on things that take us away from what these really mean, even things like justice and mercy and faith. In many aspects, those things have an earthly perspective, but there's a spiritual perspective that we focus on. And so Christ was telling them, he says, "You're so focused on tithing the mint and the anise and the cumin, but you're not focused on the weightier matters." For all you steak grillers out there, it's like when you take like 100 seasonings and you try to season a steak. Don't do that. Don't do that. Salt and pepper. That is, and let the steak do the rest. Let it come out. Don't smother it with all these useless seasonings. And so there is no justice to the steak when I do that. There is no justice to Christ and the economy of his salvation. There is no justice when we're focused on some of the smaller things, the things that we think are going to make everything taste so good and the experience will be so great. And those are the things that we focus on. Justice, mercy, and faith. These will be the pillars of change. In the Acts reading today, Paul, he went to the synagogue, he preached Christ, and it resulted in mobs trying to kill him and others affiliated with him. And many changes occurred. And what Paul gave them were these three things: justice and mercy and faith. We read, "Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ.'" Mercy, he says, Christ had to suffer. Christ had to suffer. He explains to them mercy, that Jesus Christ, who didn't deserve death, had mercy on humanity and died for humanity, died for our sins so that we can be restored back to the life that we were intended to live. He explains to them faith, the fact that Christ had to rise again, and resurrection is the part that, say, from an earthly perspective, I can believe in the crucifixion from a historical perspective. But it requires faith to know that he rose from the dead. It requires faith to know that his resurrection of the flesh is for my resurrection of the flesh. And of course, he teaches and explains to them justice, which is that this economy is for our humanity. Not justice like the justice we think about today, where we're trying to find justice for everything. We'll never be satisfied. Humanity can never be fully satisfied when it comes to earthly justice. But there is a justice that St. Paul is speaking about here, which is justice of salvation, humanity, to give us resurrection. And so it was by this, by these three things, justice and mercy and faith, that the multitude of people believed in Jesus Christ and they changed, being inspired by the gospel. And this didn't come from St. Paul. This came even from, even in the Old Testament we find this. The Old Testament where we think that God is a mean God, we will find it. In the prophet Hosea, who was married to a harlot and remained committed to her. And this was a prophecy for us that we many times in our lives we go against God, and yet He is committed to us. He grants us a covenant that will always give us an opportunity to come back to Him. And so He didn't just witness this, but He experienced it Himself. He lived in it. He committed to it. And so it's a prophecy for us. And then He says very poetically about what this covenant is going to be. And we read in chapter 3 of Hosea, "I will betroth you to me forever." This is God speaking to His people. "I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord." Being inspired by these three things, justice and mercy and faith, we shall know the Lord. And how this affects those around us. St. Paul, he was speaking about how in Corinth, in the epistle, he was speaking how in Corinth the people would judge the apostles on who is better to receive something from. Like, for example, baptism. Like, oh, it's probably more legit if I get baptized by Paul versus if I get baptized by, you know, someone else. As if the apostles were giving something that belonged to them. As if the apostles were giving something that was from the human level. But what they received, which was the grace of the priesthood to give them the grace of sanctification and renewal in baptism and in rites, they're given to them on behalf of God. And likewise, it would be important for the apostles themselves to remember that anything that they give is not theirs, because they themselves, they receive the gift. So he's saying, where is the room to boast? Where is the room to boast? If there's anything to give to anyone, it can't be something that you give them from yourself. And if you give them something good, then it was a gift that you received that you gave them. And the good comes from the Lord. If we want anyone else in our lives to change, we can't give them anything that we didn't receive. We must change first through justice, mercy, and faith. We read in the hours every week, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." True change in the world, a salvific change. This true salvific change in the world happens not salvifically through different movements or policies, but a salvific change done by our own change. By our change first, and then by our works that are manifestation of that change, and by that we glorify God who is in heaven. May the Lord grant us the healing of change and to inspire us to be a living gospel focusing on the weightier matters. To Him be the glory both now and ever and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.